Sorry, let's have some sound down. As I said to the Bible students on Tuesday when I brought this, this is possibly one of the most important subjects that we need to look at. So yes, tonight I'm not preaching something new. I did it on Wednesday night as well in the cell group. Okay. But I believe that every time I do it, God brings something new with it. We're going to be talking about one of those wells that of inheritance that God has given us. It's a well that never runs dry. We can try and cover it up. We can try and do what we want. But it's not going to be covered up. I'm talking about a well of love. The love that God has for you and I. Some time back, I had the privilege of bringing the word, and God just, it was because the word that I brought was, we have to get to the point where we're walking the spiritual walk that God wants us to walk. But part of that was to go deeper into love. Walk deeper in love. And you know what? Part of the vision, part of the mission statement of this church is to grow in love. And folk, God's saying something. God's telling us something here tonight about this love. And I want to bring this word, which I believe is so important. We're living in a world, yes, we're in this world, we're not of this world. I believe we're all Christians here tonight and we love the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what? We get so involved in our workplace. We get so involved in the politics of the church or the politics of the government or the rugby or whatever you want to call it, that we almost lose sight of that main ingredient that we need in our lives to survive as Christians. And I believe the main ingredient that covers all things is love. And folk, we can't play the fool with this. Because God wants us to go deeper in our life. He wants us to get to the point where we understand what love is and go beyond that. Tonight I want to say this. God is love. And love is God. The common statement, we all know it. God does not love because he is love. You say, hey, come on. How can you say God does not love? But folk, God is love, so it's just a natural thing to him. He just loves. Isn't that so? So he doesn't have to love because he is love. God is love. We need to understand that God is the source, the very essence, the very beginning of love. Right in the beginning, God created. Why? He created out of love. Love was the source that caused him to create. God is the well of love. That inheritance that Shirley was talking about this morning. One of those wells. But you know what? I believe this is a well that can never, nobody can steal it from you. Because God's got love for every one of us. Yes, he's got his favorites. Hallelujah, Jesus. He's got his favorites. Those that abide in him, he abides in them. So therefore, love abides in me, he abides in you. That's the love of God. And that's being a favorite. We're a chosen generation. Why? Because Jesus chose us. We came to him. We laid down everything because we know that he is love. Every action of God is based and originates from the love of God. Yes, this even includes harsh judgmental action. Now we look at this and you say, hey, come on. Glenn, did you ever get a hiding and your dad says, you know, I'm doing this because I love you? You say, that hurt too much. That's not love. Okay. Folk said it to my sons and they looked at me with a question in their eyes and said, if that's how love hurts, I don't want it. But folk, I want to say this tonight. I say it with the greatest of love. God does not want harm to come upon His children. Just as we as parents don't want our children to be harmed, we're going to do everything to destroy that which harms or will come to harm our children. And as we, if being humans, know how to give our children bread when I ask for a bread and not a snake or a scorpion, how much more does God not know how to give us better things? And I want to say this tonight, if God destroys anything, it is because of His great love for His creation. He loved us so much. If we go to the flood, what happened during the flood? Nature, it was destroyed. The earth was basically destroyed. It was something that God had created, but He had to destroy it because of the evil, the violence, the wickedness, the stealing, the killing. He had to destroy those things that were about to destroy what He had created. And to get rid of it, He chose Noah. Tuesday night, I almost said Moses. But anyway, He chose Noah to get that which He had created, to put in an ark. He wrapped His love around that ark and He looked after it during that stormy period of time. When the time came, He opened had the doors opened and there was dry land. That's a God who loves. He looks after us through the storm of life. But He destroys that which is about to destroy us. Because He doesn't want us to fall by the wayside. You know, God's love is so over His creation. If we were able to, and I've probably mentioned this before in one of my sermons, but I just like the illustration. So bear with me. Keith, if you were able to create something, and God gave you that ability, and you took a piece of clay, and you began to create a little ant, and you put your heart and soul into creating this thing, making it that it's perfect. It's got its feelers, it's got its legs, every joint moves, okay? It's able to move around. And you suddenly look at this and it's a beautiful sculpture. And you think, it needs life. It needs life put into it. God's giving you that ability. You breathe life into this ant. And you're so excited because you see, now it's starting to move as you've made it to move. It's not a robot, you know, that goes, okay? It moves exactly how it's supposed to move. And each one of us have done that. And we look after it and we feed it and we nurture it and everything else. And suddenly, this ant gets a bee in its bonnet. And it wants to run off over there. But there's a cliff on that side. So you put your hand in front of it and it jumps over your, it runs and climbs over your hand. So you rub it and say, come back. Ant, you mustn't go that way. You're going to fall. David, watch your step. You're going to fall. What happened? It runs the other way. And so you're trying to stop. And you can talk to it as much as what you like. I'm not going to understand you. You can say, ant! And it's going to carry on. Morning! And he's going to carry on. how are you going to communicate to that ant? You have to make yourself the same size and go and talk the ant language so that it can understand why you're stopping it. Because you love it that much. And folk, God tried to speak to us. He loved us so much. He tried every which way to teach us what to do. Eventually, he sent his son Jesus to the earth because of his love for his creation, that you and I and that which is around about us, just to tell us how much he loves us. How much does he love us? He stretched his arms out and died at Calvary for you and I. That's the love of God. He paid a price. The price of the most expensive jewel that you can think of would have cost you more than what possibly all of us even earn yet. But if you were wealthy enough, you would sell all your assets. You will do everything just so that you could pay that price for that diamond. And Jesus did it for you and I through his son. God the Father did it, so Jesus, it was a price. He paid the ultimate price for you and I because He is part of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He is love, and he did it for you and I. In 1 John 4:16, and we know, we have known and believe the love that God has in us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. We had that this evening. We need to abide in God. The scripture which we read, we see that we know God's love. We know it. And folk, this means that we have experience in that love. Therefore, we have knowledge that comes by experience of the love of God. It's not just something that goes poof and it's there for you to see. You experience it little by little. Every day there's something new for you to experience. That awesome love of God is there. We need to keep our eyes open so that we can see it, so that we can experience more of that love. Folks, this is not just a mental, intellectual knowledge of the love of God, but rather it is partaking of God's love. When we partake of that love, when we begin to live that love, when we begin to show more of that love and more, we want to dig deeper and deeper and deeper into that well of love. That's when we begin to partake of it. In educational circles or training circles, we talk of the pillar of knowledge. We talk of a skills pillar and a workplace experience. It is your workplace experience. That's the love that you have to build up. You're not going to get it anywhere else, folk. It's not something that you've got over here. If you've got a journeyman, excuse me, working on a lathe, he has the experience to be able to take off the minutest amount of that steel to get that thing to shine, that workpiece to shine. How does he do it? It's through experience. How do we partake of that love of God? Through experience, being able to, in the slightest manner, whatever it is, to be able to share the love of God. To show people that love that Jesus has for you and I. We are those who live for the love that God has for us. In other words, we live in God and God lives in us. Therefore, we live in love and love lives in us. In 1 John 4:18, it says this: there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He who fears has not been perfected in love. And folks, when we're in the love of God, there is no fear. We can do what we like. We can say what we like, as far as fear is concerned. But when we are fearful, folks, there's something amiss in our lives. When we're afraid of something, whatever it is, there's something amiss. Then we're not abiding in the love of God. That's what I'd like to say tonight. And many times it's because of what we're experiencing in the church, outside in the world, that we can ask ourselves a question, but why don't I love myself? Why don't I love myself? Because you know what? Jesus said, love one another as you love yourself. And many times we don't love ourselves enough to be able to love other people. It's because we have a fear in us. We're tormented by whatever it is. And we need to get over that. We need to cut those chains of bondage and say, in Jesus' name, I want God to abide in me. I've got to walk my spiritual walk as God wants me to walk it, in the love of Christ. Because that, I believe, is the basis, the foundation of our Christian walk, is that love. And tonight I want us just to look at this. I want us to look at it. Our base is love. What love? Love of Jesus. He said we need to love one another. Okay? As we love ourselves. How do we love ourselves? Christy? No. Learning to respect yourself. That's part of love, isn't it? Eh? Don't get stressed because of the work situation. No, I'm talking to myself. As usual. Okay. Whatever you're facing at work, you know what? You respect yourself. You know what you're capable of. And you know that God gives you the ability. Nothing is impossible. I read a statement that says, nothing is impossible. I-M-P-O-S-S-I-B-L-E. I am possible. I am possible. I believe for all of us here, we are possible. Not impossible, but we are possible. Okay? Why? Because God has given us the ability to love ourselves, to respect ourselves, to look after ourselves. All right? Some of us look after themselves too much. Just look at me. All right? Folk, we need to love ourselves so that we can love others as well. Get into some more of the words just now, but this is what is important, is this horizontal movement of our life. That love of Jesus that we've experienced, that we're partaking on, needs to move in the horizontal plane. Okay? We're not moving in the horizontal plane. We have a problem. Because then we're not moving in the vertical plane either. You see how it ties in? Half based on height gives you area of a triangle. Sorry, no. I'm not talking about triangles. I'm talking about the love of Jesus. All right? The love of Jesus in marriage is a triangle. The closer David gets to God, the more he pulls Shirley up to be on the same plane. See what's happened? My base is no longer there. But my base is there. What is happening here? The love for one another becomes greater, doesn't it? If I move over there, I'm getting closer to God. Because God is love. Okay? Folks, that's where we need to be at. That's what our lives need to do. Is to move up there. Okay. Whether we're Christians, whether we're friends, whether we're boyfriend, girlfriend, husband and wife, that's what we need to be doing with one another. Moving one another up there. That's when we're loving one another. All right? We can say we love God only because He loved us first. How did He love us first? He sent Jesus down to show us His love. I beg your pardon. Jesus came down to earth from God, who is love, down to earth to show us His love. Am I right? Right, I want to move into something else because I've just touched on this now, this horizontal and vertical love being so important. We know the names of love, all right? We have Eros. Okay. We have Philia. We have Storge. All right. Now, if you look at this, see, I told you I'm talking triangles tonight. We have a triangle of love. Every one of them is important. Eros is essential love. Love that I believe that God created when He created Adam and Eve. He gave them the sensual love for pleasure, for procreation, and the light. Okay. But Satan comes and he destroys it. And we get things like fornication and adultery happening, which now becomes a sinful sexual love. All right? But folk, I want us to look at it further in this context of the horizontal and the vertical. We know that fornication is consensual sex between two unmarried people or two people where one is unmarried. All right. Adultery is between two married people of different marriages. Okay. So there we have that. But now how does this now come into the vertical plane? Folks, we need to understand this, that if we go into the Old Testament, the Baal worshippers used sexual favor. They actually had temple prostitutes to heighten their religious rituals, rites, if you want to put it that way. Okay? And all of that. And we know that Baal is idol worship. Ahab, king of Israel, his wife was Jezebel, that's right. A bigger party. Jezebel was a prophetess. Excuse me, a prophetess in Baal worship. And through that, through their sexual freedom, if you want to call it, and everything else, they led Israel astray into idol worship. And so, idolatry is fornication and adultery. And if you go to Revelation, the two churches in Asia that talks of fornication, what are they talking about? They're talking about idol worship. And so it's no longer just an essential thing in the horizontal plane. It now starts affecting our relationship with God. No longer are we serving the God of life, but we're serving a God of sensation, of sexual lust and displeasure. And that becomes the sin. That God sees it as a sin. We then have a brotherly love, filial love. Now, it's got nothing to do with homosexuality. Okay? It's like a friendship love. All right. We have a storge love. Storge is family. It's a family love. In all of these, we find that it is possible to have the sinful side. Now, I don't want to spend the night talking about the sin of this lot. All right. But I want us to see something. Becomes a pyramid with a copper. Is it AG? Agape, right in the middle. You look at it in this way. There's the base, and that's your peak. What's at the peak? Godly love. A love that comes from the heart. A love that if somebody hurts you, you can say, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. When Jesus went to the cross, what happened? They whipped him. The cat of nine tails. He said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. When they slapped him through the face, he said, Father, forgive him. He doesn't know what he's doing. When they spat on him, he said, Father, forgive him, for they do not know what they do. You see, that's a love that forgives, a love that overlooks all wrong, a love that doesn't look for what is in it for me, a love that says, it doesn't matter what happens, I love these people so dearly, I'm prepared to go through this right to the point of death. Are we prepared to do that tonight? Are we prepared to step out and say, Father, I want all of this? Because if you look at all of this, from there, right there, there again, all of it is encircled, encompassed about agape love. You see, without agape love, this means nothing, that means nothing, and that means zero. Folk, unless we have agape love, that's the deepest form of love that you can experience. None of this is going to mean anything. Then where is that saying, love one another as you love yourself? You see, folk, loving yourself isn't just the be-all and end-all of it. It is the loving of the others. Yes, it's going to take the form of, if you're husband and wife, and note what I'm saying, husband and wife, it's an eros, okay? Brother and sister, mother and father, sorge, family love, be friends, philia. And with all of these, we can find hurt. But you know what? We need to be able to turn around and say, Lord Jesus, you took it all. Under one love, agape, we need to start living that love tonight. And I'd like you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I want to read something there right now because I believe that I'm going to close off over there. I don't want to keep you too long. I've already spoken too long. I'm going to have Keith on my back just now. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, from verse 4, it says this. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And folk, it's an awesome saying, isn't it? It's all about love. Love this, love that, love the next thing. But I want you to read it with me and I want you to listen what I'm saying. Let's go back to verse 4. And in place of love, let's put this one word. I am patient. Ouch. A taxi pulled in front of me today. I'm patient. You see, folk, where your love starts, I'm patient. I'm kind. I do not envy. I do not boast. I am not proud. I do not dishonor others. I am not self-seeking. I'm not easily angered. I keep no record of wrong. I do not delight in evil, but rejoice with the truth. I always protect, always trust, always hope, always persevere, and I never fail. Folk, are we able to say that about ourselves? I believe if we can answer yes to every one of those, we're beginning to walk. We've touched the tip of the iceberg. You know the tip of the iceberg? That's that little piece at the top there in our agape love walk that God wants us to do. Let's walk that today. And that's what I close with tonight. Let's walk that love spoken about in 1 Corinthians. Because I believe then we start walking that deeper love that God wants us to walk. Amen. Father, we just bow tonight. Our prayer is, Lord Jesus, that your name be high and lifted up. Father God, it's not about us anymore. It's all about you. It's all about your love. It's all about your wellspring of love that you want us to share with those around about us. I pray tonight, Father, that we will take this opportunity to show one another a love that cares, a love that perseveres, a love that hopes, a love that embraces the truth. Help us, Father, in all our ways to be what you want us to be. We ask it tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.